The Health and Human Services Committee will come to order. Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Fine.
Here.
Representatives Persons Mulica.
Here.
Salzman.
Here.
Skidmore.
Here.
Amnesty.
Here.
Anderson.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Clemens. Cross.
Here.
Dunkley.
Here.
Edmonds. Gant. Grant.
Here.
Coster.
Here.
Masula.
Here.
Plankin.
Here.
Rizzo.
Here.
Snyder.
Here.
Trabuzzi.
Here.
Woodson. Yurkowski. Here. Quorum is present.
All right, thank you, Sabrina. As we begin the meeting, I ask everyone to silence your phones. So welcome to our first meeting of this session where we're going to actually hear bills. And we have six bills up today and some amendments and some public comment. So we'll try to move expeditiously. We have 2 hours to get through these six bills. We're just going to go ahead and get started with HB 899, which is regarding surrendered newborn infants, by Representatives Kennedy and Beltran. Representative Kennedy, you're recognized to present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 899 modifies provisions relating to surrendered newborn infants. It gives the option to dial 911 to request emergency medical services, meet the surrendering parent at a specified location. The surrendering parent must stay with the newborn infant until the emergency medical services providers arrive. It increases the age that an infant may be lawfully surrendered from 7 days to 30. It authorizes the placement of surrendered infants in a newborn safety device at a hospital, an EMS station, a fire station, if such a facility is staffed 24 hours a day. Over 120 babies have been safely surrendered nationwide since the first was installed in 2016, including one in Ocala, just this January. There is no fiscal impact on the state revenues or state expenditures. And that, members, is the bill.
Having explained the bill, members, are there any questions on the bill? Are there any questions? All right, I don't see any. Seeing no questions, we do have two amendments. We're going to take up the first one, barcode 768616, by Representative Kennedy. Representative Kennedy, you're recognized to explain your amendment.
Amendment one is simply a conforming amendment that expands the definition of a newborn infant to include all the ways in which a newborn infant may now be surrendered under the Florida Safe Haven law, including the new options created by the bill.
Okay, members, are there any questions on this amendment? All right, seeing no questions, we do have some public testimony. Andrew Sherville from Florida Voice for the Unborn waves in support. That's all our public testimony. Members, is there debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate, without objection, we will show... Oh, actually, would you like to close on your amendment?
We've closed.
Okay. Without objection, we'll show that amendment adopted. We're going to move on to the second amendment, Amendment 823221, also by Representative Kennedy. You're recognized to explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is also a conforming amendment. It makes parental procedural protections in current law apply to all the different ways that a newborn infant may be appropriately and legally surrendered in the state of Florida.
Great. Members, are there questions on this amendment? All right, seeing none, we do have one public speaker card. Again, Andrew Sherville with Florida Voice for the Unborn, Inc. waves in support. All right, members, is there any debate on this amendment? Okay, seeing no debate, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
We've closed.
All right, without objection, let's show that amendment adopted. All right, members, we are now on the bill as amended. We're going to move into public testimony. We have one. All right, again, we have one, Andrew Sherville with Florida Voice for the Unborn. It's a hat trick. He is a proponent and wishes to speak this time. You are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, committee members. My name is Andrew Sherville. I'm the executive director of Florida Voice for the Unborn. Just like we have in the past, Florida Voice for the Unborn continues to strongly support this life-saving legislation. This bill is simply about providing another choice for parents of a newborn to safely and legally surrender their child using a state-of-the-art infant safety device. Since December 2020, the city of Ocala has maintained Florida's one and only Safe Haven baby box. House Bill 899 is needed because it provides it provides clear safety standards for the use of these baby boxes. Having these rules and regulations codified via state law will incentivize local jurisdictions from Pensacola to the Florida Keys to join with Ocala in establishing these life-saving devices. Earlier this year, news did break that a newborn child has been safely surrendered via the Ocala baby box for the first time. And while these infant safety devices may not be used often, I, as a Christian, know this. Per the Jewish Talmud, quote, if you save one life, you save the world. So committee members, help save the world and build a culture of life here in Florida by voting yes today on House Bill 899. Thank you and God bless you.
All right, seeing no additional public testimony, members, is there anyone wishing to speak in debate? All right, seeing no debate, would you like to close on your bill?
Waive close, Mr. Chair.
Good answer. Sabrina, please call the roll on HB 899 and announce the vote.
Representatives Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Missoula?
Yes.
Lincoln?
Yes.
Brazil?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Kabuzi?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yarkowski? Chair Fine?
Yes.
20 yeas and zero nays, Mr. Chair.
All right, unanimous. Good job. Let's show that bill as reported favorably.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee.
All right. Well done. Next, we're going to take up Representative Caruso's bill, CS for HB 295, Substance Abuse Service Providers. Representative Caruso, you are recognized to present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Happy St. Patty's Day, everyone. Let's say, and thank you for the opportunity of presenting HB 295, titled Substance Abuse Service Providers. Members, as some of you may know, my oldest son and many of his high school friends were victims of this once run afoul sober home industry. My son Michael, fortunately, survived and succeeds today, while sadly many of his friends are no longer with us. Today, approximately 1.1 million Floridians are struggling with substance abuse disorder. Over the course of my time in a legislature and a joint effort with the state prosecutor, Dave Ehrenberg, and the chair of the Sober Homes Task Force, Al Johnson, I passed four bills aimed at cleaning up the sober home industry. Proud to say our efforts have been successful. Opioid deaths in my home county of Palm Beach County have decreased 14% compared to last year, and at a time when opioid deaths are increasing throughout the country. This bill continues that work. Currently, there's an increasing number of providers who advertise, facilitate, and allow the use of marijuana in recovery facilities, and in other words, sober homes. This bill requires applicants for licensure as substance abuse service providers with the Department of Children and Families to provide proof of a prohibition rule on their premises against the following substances. And I know this sounds common sense, but alcohol, not allowed to have alcohol, marijuana, illegal drugs, and prescription drugs to be used by persons other than those to whom they are prescribed. The bill prohibits licensed substance abuse service providers from making referrals of prospective current or discharged patients to or accepting referrals from recovery residences, which allow the use of any of these named substances on the premises. The bill adds marijuana to the list of substances for which a credentialing entity must require in the list of prohibited substances in a recovery residence policy and procedures manual. The bill establishes a mechanism for imposing and establishing fines. The bill adds various safeguards with regards to trespassing. The bill provides restrictions as to referral made by a licensed substance abuse provider. And lastly, the bill revises the definition of marijuana to include marijuana certified by a physician for use as medical treatment to be included in the banned substance list of the sober home. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Caruso, for the thorough explanation. Members, are there any questions on the bill? All right, we've got some. Representative Gant, you're recognized.
Good morning. Thank you for my recognition, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Representative Caruso. What's the purpose of including the medical marijuana? Because I know it's a process in order to get that license, and it's under the care of a physician. So what is the purpose of distinguishing it distinguishing medical marijuana?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Great question, Representative Gant. Medical, these are addiction recovery facilities. Marijuana is an addictive substance. It's also not an FDA-approved, federally legal drug. The card that is issued by doctors in the state of Florida, it's like a permission slip to buy from a dispensary, but it is not a prescription. If it was a prescription, there'd be limits on how much you can buy. But once you get this card, you can buy as much as you want. There's no prescription out there that allows you to get as much as you want.
Follow up? Yes.
Thank you for your recognition, Mr. Chair. So I do understand the sober homes, the rehab facilities, because I had to get a lot of my clients as a public defender into them. So I understand the purpose of making sure that marijuana is part of the list. But as far as medical marijuana is concerned, in the instances, well, will there be any exceptions? Because sometimes people self-medicate with heroin, cocaine, really hard drugs for different mental health issues. Anxiety can be one, panic attacks, so on and so forth. And there have been studies with alternative medicine that have said that marijuana does help alleviate those symptoms. And if a person is under the care of a doctor, has a medical marijuana license, and is in a rehab facility or a sober home facility, would they be able to have some type of parameters around how a person with a medical marijuana license could be able to still receive the services there and use the benefits of their medical marijuana card?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The bill does not provide for that sort of allowance or exception.
All right. Ranking Member Skidmore, I think you had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That was the question.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions on the bill? Okay. Seeing none, we do not have any amendments, but we do have a couple people who wish to speak or at least wave. Casey Denny, representing Palm Beach County, waves in support. And Natalie Kelly, representing the Florida Association of Managing Entities, also waves in support. All right, seeing no additional public comment, members, is there anyone wishing to debate on the bill? Representative Woodson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning again, Rep. Cabulso. As I stated in the previous committee, I'm glad that your son survived this, while others, some of his friends did not, and I appreciate your advocacy trying to make it better for other people to survive. I still have an issue with the medical marijuana, because if it's prescribed, they should be allowed to use it. But I understand why you're saying that, you know, it might get other ones to relapse and so forth and so on. I would support you on it, but I still have some issues with it. Just wanted to make sure you know that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Whip Salzman, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative, for bringing this bill forward. I just want to clarify a couple of things for folks. When you go into a rehab facility, they take you off of almost all of your medications and they start you back on whatever it is that they think is medically necessary. If they take you off of something like a medical cannabis or a form of a benzopain, they do supply you with another type of medication while you taper off of that drug or medication. So while I am a huge proponent of medical cannabis, I'm also a huge proponent of other medications that people may need in treatment. But a rehab facility is not the place where you utilize maintenance drugs. It's a facility where you learn how to cope with what's inside of you. What is your deep, dark fears, secrets, or hurtful feelings, whatever it is that you're trying to get through. Medical cannabis is not the answer for that. That's talk therapy, group therapy, one-on-one, and supervised facility. So I appreciate you bringing this bill forward, and I appreciate what the intent is, and I think it's a good idea. So I thank you very much. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak in debate? Representative Gant, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you for your recognition, Mr. Chair. Thank you for this bill, Representative Caruso. I think the process of getting loved ones into sober facilities has been quite difficult and tedious at some points, and then the services they receive as well. My only issue is with the medical marijuana portion, and I do 100% understand the rationalization. I would really like to see some type of flexibility in allowing facilities to make case-by-case determinations about how that can be implemented when it comes to medical marijuana, and just to ensure that, you know, we're all different people. We all have different concerns. We all have different histories, medical histories. So that may be an issue with certain people and a good amount of people that are on medical marijuana when they go into these facilities. So I don't want it to be an adverse step in the process to prevent someone from going to a facility if they don't feel that they will be able to use their treatment under medical marijuana. And I think that that's a real possibility that could happen, because we know how hard it is for people to get to that step of wanting to go to a sober facility. And so I 100% applaud the intent behind this bill, and I would love to have a further conversation with you. So I'll be up on the bill today, but I would love to see how we can work out some other provisions in the bill to make sure that that provision doesn't prohibit people from getting that help that they need.
Anyone else wishing to speak in debate? All right, seeing none, Representative Caruso, I just want to say real quick that you're brave to bring this bill forward, and I appreciate you telling the story. You're a good father, you're a good man. I'm proud to call you my friend. With that, you're recognized to close on your bill.
With that, I'll close. I'll wave close.
All right, well, thank you. Sabrina, please call the roll.
Representatives Persons Mulica?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Masula?
Yes.
Lincoln?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trabuzzi? Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkowski? Yurkowski? Chair Fahn?
Yes, and I think Representative Trabulsi just didn't hear you when you said.
Representative Trabulsi?
Yes.
20 yeas and zero nays.
All right, congratulations. With that, show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, members. Thank you, Chair.
All right, next we're going to move on to our third bill, CS for HB 387. We're going to stay, since we were talking, some people wanted to talk about marijuana. We'll stay on the subject, I guess. Physician certifications for the medical use of marijuana by Representative Roach. Representative Roach, you are recognized to present the bill.
Thank you, and good morning, Chair Fine, Vice Chairpersons Mullica, and Ranking Member Skidmore. Good morning and happy St. Paddy's Day. May the luck of the Irish be with you all today. Chairman, thank you for hearing this bill. Committee substitute for House Bill 387 would treat the use of medical marijuana just like other medicines in the state of Florida by authorizing these certifications to qualified patients through telehealth or telemedicine, sir. That is the bill.
All right. Having explained the bill, members, are there any questions on the bill? Okay. Seeing no questions, there is an amendment. It's amendment barcode 561611 by Representative Roach. You're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Chairman. There were a few questions about what some lawyers and some members thought was a little bit of ambiguity in the language about whether, if you were to see a new doctor, whether you would have to go back for an in-person certification. So we wanted to tighten that language up to make it absolutely crystal clear that if you change doctors, you still have to go back in person for a new initial examination before you can be certified to use this medicine. And then only then can you get an authorization for telemedicine. We wanted to tighten that language up. Eliminate any ambiguity. That is the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Are there any questions on the amendment? Okay. Seeing no questions, do we have any? No public. We do have public comment on the amendment. Ron Watson, representing MOVE, waves in support. Okay. Seeing no additional public comment on the amendment, members, is there any debate on this amendment? Yes, Representative Anderson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative, for working on this legislation. I was previously a caretaker for an individual who was part of the medical marijuana program, and that person it's very difficult for them to leave the house. And you know, while I think there is some abuse with this program, for the people who use medical marijuana the way it's intended, this will definitely improve their lives. So I want to thank you for bringing this legislation.
Okay. Any other members wishing to speak in debate on the amendment? Seeing none, you are recognized to close.
Wave close, Mr. Chairman.
All right, and since no one spoke in opposition, without objection, we'll show that amendment adopted without objection. All right, public testimony on the bill as amended. We have a few. Dana Kniffen with the Florida Cannabis Action Network is a proponent. If you want to speak, you need to come to the microphone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. I really want to thank you, Mr. Roach, for bringing this bill to the table. It's really important. I am currently a medical marijuana patient in the state of Florida, and I also work at a dispensary. So I know how important this is to a lot of patients. Thank you, Ms. Salzman, also, as well, for getting on board with this. She is in our district, so I super appreciate that. She is my representation. And I just want to wave in support and say thank you. This is very important to many patients, and we see patients every day that live very far from their doctors and very far from their prescriptions and where they can go get them. So this is very important. Thank you.
Okay, next we're going to have Eric Stevens with Florida for Care, who is a proponent of the bill.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. And thank you, Representative Roach, for bringing this bill today. As a patient advocate for years on this issue, I appreciate you all just listening to doctors. This is only for recertifications. I think the amendment last week was also super important, so there will not be any bad actors, or there's a way to potentially go about that. And I think it's done in a smart way that we should move forward with this. So I appreciate your support. Thank you for listening to your doctors and following really our governor's order through multiple emergency orders, through disease, hurricanes, all kinds of issues. This has been helpful and will still be for our most vulnerable patients. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Jewel Fess representing David's Bridal. Waves in support. Okay. We have Eric Stevens representing Florida for Care, who is a proponent. Sorry. Ron Watson representing Move. Waves in support, and Maria Hurley, representing the Florida Cannabis Action Network, waves in support. Okay. With that, members, is there anybody wishing to debate? Oh. Sure. Yeah, we've got time. But you need to fill out a card for him. If one of the sergeants can bring a card.
Good morning. My name is Bob Lotain. I was bitten by a mosquito in 2014 here in Tallahassee and got West Nile virus. So I'm basically a functional quadriplegic now. During the pandemic, we were able to do telehealth visits, and we learned that it was a great experience for us. The visits are primarily verbal, so they're pretty well done over the phone. Examinations, can be done just simply with a telephone. It's honestly a miracle we can drive with the specialized equipment we have nowadays, but any trip is a project, even if you're just going to a convenience store with ramps and, having to park in the right place and everything. And while we are safe drivers, there's no doubt that there's some drop-off in efficacy. My hands this is about as good as they get, and with all the miracle things we get, it's amazing we can do it. And if you can't afford one of those vehicles, you have to go on buses, and that presents a whole new problem. So while we are safe drivers every day, we're not on the road. It's probably a good day for you guys. And with that, I would take any questions.
Any questions? Well, I just want to thank you for being here. And thank you for kind of putting the issue in perspective for us all. I'm sorry. Was there a question? What? No? Okay. No questions. All right. No questions. Thank you. All right. We have no additional. Hopefully we'll get that speaker's card. We have no additional public comment. Members, is there anyone wishing to debate on the bill? Representative Woodson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Fine. Rep. Woods, thank you for bringing this bill forward. I have received a lot of complaints and issues from patients or constituents who are having issues with getting medical marijuana. And not only that, when they're being prescribed medical marijuana, some facility might not admit them. We just heard the bill from Representative Caruso where medical marijuana, our patients who are prescribed medical marijuana cannot use it in those facilities. So I'm hoping you can have a conversation with him so we can go back on the bill and make the changes, because patients should be allowed to use it if it's being prescribed by doctors. A lot of people told me that's the only thing that works for them. Other painkillers might not work. So I appreciate you bringing this bill forward, and I look forward to support you on it. Thank you.
Members, anyone else wishing to speak in debate? All right. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Representative Masullo, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Roche, thank you for bringing this bill. It actually improves the efficiency of health care delivery. This legislature has been very prudent in going carefully with regard to cannabis, and I think it's behooved us in many, many ways in what we've done and how we've achieved to be able to expand the use of medical cannabis in our state. As Representative Anderson said, many of the patients that use cannabis either have chronic pain, they may have cancer, they may have some debilitating disease of some sort, PTSD, movement disorders, that preclude them from having easy access to transportation and being able to show up at a doctor's office. This bill puts them on par, as you mentioned earlier in your presentation, with other forms of health care delivery, and I think everyone should support it.
Anyone else wishing to speak in debate? All right. I see a smile down there. Did you? No? All right. With no one else wishing to speak, Representative Roach, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I would sincerely like to thank you again for adding this bill to the agenda. Two points I would just address. I know two of the speakers had mentioned that we sort of had an unforced trial run with this in Florida for approximately 8 months. It was broken up a little bit. In March of 2020, the Surgeon General did authorize telemedicine for recertification during the pandemic, which came to an end in June. And then with the onset of hurricanes, there was another emergency order authorized this. So it was roughly an 8 month period where patients were able to do this. Really didn't see any problems there. And then I did want to just touch on Representative Woodson's comment. This is kind of combining this in the last bill, but if you look at your staff analysis on page 2, it mentions some of the factors that doctors have to go through when they're deciding if a patient is qualified to use medical marijuana. It's in the Florida statutes. It's section 381. But one of the things they have to consider is that the use of marijuana to treat a condition would outweigh the health risk to the patients. And one of those risks that they would evaluate is the propensity for addiction or whether they are on any other type of substance. That's the same thing a doctor would do when prescribing an opioid or other addictive substance. So there is some requirements in place for doctors to evaluate that. Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. With that, I close.
Having closed on his bill, Sabrina, please call the roll on CS for HB 387.
Representatives Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Lemons?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Masullo?
Yes.
Plinken?
Yes.
Brazil?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trabuzzi?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkowski? Chair Fine?
Yes.
20 yeas and 0 nays.
All right. Please show CS for HB 387 reported favorably as amended. Congratulations. Next up, we are going to take up Representative Silver's bill, HB 117, regarding genetic counselors using telehealth, saying in the telehealth vein. Representative Silvers, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, committee members, for hearing HB 117. In 2021, the legislature passed and the governor signed into law the Genetic Counseling Workforce Act. The act allowed for master's-trained genetic counselors to become licensed under the Department of Health with the goal of eliminating workforce shortages and increasing access to critical cost-saving services. This bill fixes an unintended oversight in the genetic counseling statutes that prevents licensed genetic counselors from providing services via telehealth. That is the bill.
Members, are there any questions? All right. Seeing none, we do have some public appearance cards. Christian Camara with the Institute of Justice waves in support. Amy, I'm sorry, I can't read the handwriting, Jonasson, you may correct me if you'd like, representing the Florida Association of Genetic Counselors, is a proponent of the bill. While she's coming up, Robbie Holyroad with the Florida Association of Genetic Counselors waves in support.
Hi,
Ms. Jonasson, you're recognized.
Hi, I'm Amy. Thank you so much, everyone, for hearing this bill. This bill is incredibly important to me and the rest of the pediatric genetic counselors that I work with at the University of Florida. Our patients range from Orlando all the way up to Pensacola, so saving families a 12 to 13 hour drive just to see us for a visit would be incredibly helpful in allowing us to provide those services to families. So thank you so much for hearing this.
Thank you for being here. Hopefully you didn't have to make a 12 to 13 hour drive. Last speaker card is Hector Roos, representing himself. Handwritten, which would mean he's here. All right, not, but we'll say he waves in support. With that, members, is there any debate on this bill? Yes, Representative Koster, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you again for continuing to support the genetic counselors. I know when your first bill passed, I guess last year or the year before, I can't remember, they all blend together at this point, but 2 years ago, I spoke out on it, and as somebody whose family has benefited greatly from genetic counseling, both when deciding to have children and then also when diagnosed as a BRCA patient a few years ago. It's incredibly important, but it's one of those things that can easily be done via telehealth. And so I'm glad you're fixing this. Thank you.
Members, anyone else wishing to speak in debate? Okay. Seeing none, Representative Silvers, you're recognized to close.
Thank you. I'll leave Chair Koster's comments as my close.
All right. I think you're going to be okay. Sabrina, please call the roll on HB 117.
Representatives Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds? Yes. Gant?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Koster?
Yes.
Masula?
Yes.
Plankin?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trabuzzi?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkoski? Carafine?
Yes.
20 yeas and 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Would that show HB for 117 reported favorably? Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, next we are going to take up HB 341 by Representative Amnesty, which is regarding 9/11 public safety telecommunicator certificates. When you get up there, Representative Amnesty, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and committee members. It's a blessing to be before you all today. The purpose of House Bill 341 is to increase the workforce potential of our 911 public safety telecommunicators. Currently in Florida, we are facing an enormous staffing shortage in this area of work. According to the Department of Management Services, in 2022, only 79% of the authorized 911 telecommunicators positions were filled. Currently in statute allows the inactive voluntary status up to 6 years if the certificate holder sends an email to the Department of Health allowing them to be placed before the expiration date. The bill that I am proposing, House Bill 341, changes the involuntary inactive status limits of 180 days to 6 years. This bill aligns with the timeframe allowed by law for the voluntary inactive status. In other words, if a 911 PST does not actively request to be placed on inactive status before the renewal deadline, they will now remain available inactive status for up to 6 years instead of 180 days. This is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we do have a strike-all amendment, so maybe we'll just go ahead and take that up. Although, are there any questions, members, on the bill before we take up the strike-all? All right, seeing none, we'll take up the strike-all. It's barcode 538565. Representative Amnesty, you're recognized to explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The amendment removes a position from current law that allows a certificate holder to request their certification to be placed on inactive status. It pretty much just allows the Department of Health to place their inactive status without having them to request this during a period of 6 years. That is the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Members, are there any questions on the strike-all amendment? Yes, Representative Gant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for recognizing me. Good morning, Representative Amnesty. Right? Okay. I always want to add an N to your name. So when the health department can place them on inactive status, do they get notification?
You're recognized.
So it would be automatically. Currently, one of the main issues and the purpose of the bill is currently PSDs don't even know how to contact the Department of Health. There's not a specific email. There's just not a specific guideline on how to contact the Department of Health to be placed in inactive voluntary status. So the essence of this bill is just to say, listen, during 6 years, they'll be allowed to be inactive without having the ability to reach out to the Department of Health and pay a $50 fee. So in other words, just efficient government.
To clarify, let me ask a follow-up question. So right now, you have to ask. If you ask, it's automatic. Now you just won't have to ask, and they'll just do it.
Correct.
Additional questions, Representative Gant?
Yes. Thank you for your recognition, Mr. Chair. So when it's automatic, do they know? Like, I'm just asking about how will they know. I know they have to ask for it right now, but if it's automatically put in the inactive status, are they alerted to that? Or, like, what is that process of notice?
You're recognized.
So if this bill passes, it would be in statute, and the Department of Health automatically places them in active status for 6 years. So the time of application, they renew 2 years after the expiration. If within that 180 days time frame, they don't reapply for the certification, they're placed in an active status for 6 years. So it would be statute. The Department of Health doesn't have to reach out. It's just automatic 6 years inactive status.
Any additional questions on the strike law? Seeing none, we do have a couple public comment cards. Katie Fleury, representing the Orange County Sheriff's Office, waves in support. And Richard Pinsky, representing 9/11 Emergency Dispatchers, waves in. Oh, you want to speak? All right, go ahead. No, no worries. Come on up.
Good morning. Representative Amnesty, thank you very much for bringing this bill. I represent the 911 Public Safety Emergency Telecommunicators. So, Representative, great question. Up until this bill, which fixes a glitch, we had a six-year inactive. You could keep it before you'd have to go take the 232 course all over again. To get active, whether it was 180 days, which was in the statute, or 6 years, all you had to do was produce the 20-hour refresher course. There was no difference in statute. It made no sense. My mistake, I worked on the bill originally in 2011, so I take full responsibility. Representative Amnesty is fixing that. So now that we're just no difference between 180 days and 6 years, which helps Orange County and dispatch centers all over the state get their people, it's now going to be automatic. You don't have to worry about, am I putting it on 180 day? Am I putting it on a 6 year? It's all going to be the same, and it's all going to be automatic. Thank you.
Okay. Seeing no additional public testimony on the strike all amendment, members, is there any debate on the strike all amendment? All right, seeing none, we're going to show that. Oh, you recognize to close on your strike all amendment.
Waive to close, Mr. Chair. Right.
Seeing no objection, we'll show that amendment adopted without objection. We're now on the bill as amended. We do have one public comment. Katie Fleury, again, with the Orange County Sheriff's Office, waves in support. Members, is there any debate on this bill? Yes, Representative Leader Grant, you're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you for the recognition. I appreciate this bill. I've met with the dispatchers in Charlotte County. Their representative came to me this summer, talked about a lot of issues, but one of them in particular was the lack of personnel and how understaffed that they were. I think everybody knows that there, especially in healthcare and in emergency services, there's a lack of personnel coming into it. So I appreciate the novel approach you're taking to help address that issue. This is a great bill. I look forward to voting for it. Thank you.
Members, anyone else wishing to speak in debate? All right, seeing none, Representative Amnesty, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this bill will help alleviate the staffing shortages statewide by allowing hundreds, if not thousands, of 911 public safety telecommunicators in Florida who have worked in the field eligible to return. I look forward to counting with your support, and thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to present before you all.
No problem. Sabrina, please call the roll on HB 341. And announce the vote.
Representatives Persons Mulica?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Masula?
Yes.
Plankin?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trabuzzi?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkoski?
Yes.
Chair Fine?
Yes.
21 yeas and zero nays, Mr. Chair.
All right. Show the bill reported favorably as amended. Congratulations. All right. Last and definitely not least will be HB 581, the prohibited use of SNAP benefits to purchase soft drinks by Representative Masullo and myself. Representative Masullo, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. May I present to the podium out of respect for those members that may have a question?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can present wherever you'd like. When you get to the podium, you're recognized to explain this bill.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. Good morning, members. HM 581 is a simple memorial where we will request of the federal government through the Office of the President and their Congress to consider removing soda soft drinks from the SNAP program. Studies have shown that soda soft drinks are the number one purchased item on the SNAP program and have little or no nutritional value. By 2035, studies have shown that 50% of Floridians will be obese. The associated cost to our state will be roughly $34 billion in the associated health care anomalies and problems that will happen because of that state. Soft drinks account for about 5% of all purchases on SNAP, which is roughly about $3.5 billion per year. The total program is $71 billion. Taxpayer-funded nutritional supplemental support should have some measure of nutrition. This bill will empower individuals on the program to make better choices with regard to their nutrition. It will create a more healthy and productive society, and that's the memorial.
Thank you. Just one question before we take other member questions. Would your memorial ask the federal government to cut the SNAP program in any way?
No, it will not decrease the amount that individuals have for SNAP. It will only add more choice by removing soda.
Are there other members wishing to ask questions about the memorial? Ranking Member Skidmore, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the recognition. Thank you, Rep. Masullo. I think that it was in the analysis, but could you remind me what is classified as a soft drink? Could you just define that for me?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ranking Member. Soft drink is defined as a carbonated beverage sweetened naturally or artificially.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So just out of curiosity, could a person with SNAP benefits buy Kool-Aid?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kool-Aid, to the best of my knowledge, is not carbonated.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Agreed. So what is the difference in nutritional value from a soft drink and Kool-Aid?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kool-Aid would have equal nutrition, which would be basically next to none.
Follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you're proving my point. So if we're going to go down the road of pulling off what we deem nutritional no value, why just soft drinks? And what else should we be taking off if we're trying to send that message of the benefit, the SNAP benefit has nutrition in its name? So what else should we be taking off the list of what things people can buy, what choices they have in taxpayer-funded nutrition?
Sounds like a great amendment for the ranking member to put up on the floor. So you're recognized to answer the question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We'll get that one written up for you.
Yes.
Actually, we could do a handwritten one right now if you wanted. But yes, Chair Masullo, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's a wonderful, wonderful comment, and you're absolutely 100% correct. We need to look at the SNAP program in whole. And unfortunately, it is not in our purview as an individual state to do that, since it is a federal program. But we need to make smarter choices. And we need to be able to empower those individuals that can't afford to purchase food on their own without some assistance to have choices that would lead to healthier lives, particularly for their children. In Florida, 1.2 million children use SNAP, 3.2 million individuals total. So that is a significant percentage of our population.
Do you have any more follow-ups? Or do you want our help handwriting that amendment right now? No? Okay. All right. Representative Edmonds, you're recognized with a question.
Thank you, Chair Fine. Thank you, Rep. Masullo, for this House memorial. Just a quick question. Is there a reason why we are directing this House memorial to SNAP recipients only and not all Floridians?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It would be any Floridian that actually uses SNAP. We're certainly not choosing to control people's choice. People should have a choice with their own money to purchase whatever they want to purchase that's readily commercially available and legal. However, if the taxpayers are paying for a particular service, you would think that service would have efficacy. If we're doing nutritional supplementation, we want what we supplement to those individuals to have nutritional value.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Rep. Masullo.
Anyone else wishing to ask a question? No? All right. Seeing none, we have a couple comment cards. We've got Elizabeth DeWitt, representing the Florida Beverage Association, waves in opposition, and Jennifer Dotson, representing herself, wishes to speak. It's not here, so she will waive in opposition. Okay, that's all of our public comment. Members, is there anyone wishing to debate on this bill? Whip Salzman, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was totally unaware of how much soda was purchased with these benefits until we were in our meeting on Monday. I was just completely floored, and I'm really grateful that you're bringing this forward, because certainly you can purchase soda if you want soda, but when you're using taxpayer dollars, I truly believe that you should be purchasing what is nutritional, because the purpose of that is to make sure that you are in a position to do well for your family, and soda is not that. But I would like to make a comment on the Kool-Aid conversation. In the words of Michelle at 7, 6, 5, 4, 3 years old, don't be dipping in my Kool-Aid and you don't even know the flavor. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, bad joke, but Representative Woodson, you're recognized. Yes. All right. Representative Woodson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Fine. But Masullo, I have shared my concern with you. I see the intention in this memorial. A lot of it I really like, because we do have a problem with obesity. Where I have an issue with is I feel like we are dictating what they should do with the SNAP money that they receive. Knowing that we have a major issue in soft drinks is something that our children should not consume. I'm going to go ahead and support you on it today, even though I didn't. But I just want to put it on the record. I do have an issue with us telling them what to do, because parents should be able to go and do and buy what they need with the money, because it's being given to them. And there's a stigma attached to SNAP food stamps money in the first place. But I know your intention in the bill. Yes, we do have an obesity problem that we all need to address. So today I'm going to support you on it. I don't know if that will move forward, you know, with when we get to the floor, but I'm supporting you on it today. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Gant, did you? No? Okay. Members, is there any other members wishing to speak in debate? All right. Seeing none, I'll just make a couple of comments. I think a memorial like this helps the program, and here's why. There are many people out there, myself included, who are skeptical of programs like this. They ask, why do we need them? The stated purpose of them is because kids are hungry. They're starving. They don't have enough food. So we, the taxpayer, must come up with billions of dollars in order to help make sure families and children are not hungry. When $3.5 billion is being spent on soda, it undermines the program, because it shows that there are people getting money and they're not using it to feed hungry kids. We live in a world of unlimited wants and limited means. There's lots of things we'd like to do for people, but we have a fixed amount of money with which we do it, which you freshmen who've put in budget requests will learn probably fairly soon. So when we give a dollar, when we give $3.5 billion to people who don't need it to buy soda, that's $3.5 billion we don't have to take people off the APD wait list or improve education or fix roads or do all of the other things that we want to be done. So we have an obligation to make sure every dollar is delivered in the highest and best use. And while we can't change this, by passing a memorial like this, we illuminate the insanity that in Florida, it's $3.5 billion on soda to make a problem that we end up spending billions more dollars on even worse. It's important for us to make the issue public, to put pressure on the federal government to do something about this. That's why I've been proud to work with you on this since we were freshmen, and I'm excited to see us get it over the finish line this year. With that, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would just ask all the members, please don't drink the Kool-Aid of the fact that... Don't drink the Kool-Aid for the fact that a bill doesn't have absolutely everything you might want in it, even though it's somewhat beneficial. The SNAP program, like a lot of federal programs, have a lot of problems. They're not doing what they were intended to do. And if we could send a message, at least a little one, that here in Florida, we care about our children, we care about our citizens, and we want to get them a little bit healthier. We don't want to take any money away from them. We actually want to give them more money to use for healthier foods. That's all this memorial does. It doesn't criticize anyone, and it does address the soft drink industry. I will admit to that. But you know, when they first devised this program in 65, the House of Representatives did not want soda on the program. The Senate, in their infinite wisdom, said, we will allow it. We should allow it. Because no one is going to use their benefits to get soda. And what we've found, it's the number one purchased item with no nutritional value. I ask you please to support this. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sabrina, please call the roll on HB 581.
Representatives Persons Mulica?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Gant?
No.
Grant?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Masula?
Yes.
Plankin?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trabuzzi?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yakrosky?
Yes.
Chair Fine?
Yes.
20 yeas, 1 nay, Mr. Chair.
All right, we were on a roll there. So let's show the bill reported favorably. All right, members, that brings us to the end of our agenda. I hope all of our future meetings will be similarly efficient and quick, although I think I'm going to be disappointed in that regard. Because 8 a.m. on Friday is such a fun time for us to meet, this will be when we meet next week as well. And with no further business, Representative Amnesty moves, we rise. With that, we are adjourned.